right, guys. We are back. KMOX Home Improvement Show. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and welcoming in the 97.1 FM listeners with us. So for KMOX 1124, 97.1, I'm here answering anything you've got about your home, any type of quick repairs you run into, renovations, questions about things that you're about to get done, kind of like Jim and Rich had about how do I do this? I'm getting ready to do this. What should I do? Are they doing the right thing? It's a good thing to kind of call in and find out about. And I'm right here for you. You can find me at 314-436-7900. And we've got a whole nother hour for you. So plenty of time to get your thoughts, questions, and answers in. And I want to get back to, we've kind of had some topics with Jim and Rich calling in about ventilation, energy efficiency, making my home more comfortable. And I was talking earlier about my window job where we had fixed a leak on the back of this house 15 years ago. And now two windows directly in the line sight that we actually worked on 15 years ago to keep water and leaks out. The homeowners, the windows are really wore out. I want to replace them. So I had to get in pretty deep into explaining what we did 15 years ago and the three different types of replacement window installs that exist. And, you know, the third type, I don't know, maybe that's just my type of install. Maybe I'm doing more than almost anybody, but it's such a better system. And so thinking about how these windows get installed, and it's not always bad, right, wrong, or indifferent. Sometimes each installation practice is perfectly fine for a specific situation. So when you look at the most standard type where they leave the existing wood window frame and they fit a new window into that wood frame, then you deal with the outside, you caulk, you wrap, you cover it with trims and stuff, and you do that. And that is an install that's perfectly fine. It happens all the time in old St. Louis homes with the wood windows, with wood window sashes. You take the sash out, you leave the frame, and boom, you put that new window into there. So that's step one. We're going to find some time here later on to, I'll get you into two and three, but we've got Brian on the phone. I want to get straight to Brian and say, hey, are you there? Can you hear me? What do you got going on?
Yeah, hey, I got a question about, it doesn't have to do with the windows like you were talking about, but I'm...
No, that's fine.
Okay, I was putting up some drywall, and the crease down between the two sheets, I'm having trouble like blending that together so the two sheets, you know, look like one. And I've tried, you know, using a real wide blade to run down it to fill the crack.
Uh-huh.
And I use the mesh tape, and I put the mud down through there. And what I'm having trouble with is sanding it smooth. Am I supposed to use like a real long block sand or
something
like that?
Yeah, you definitely want a long, flat, hard sander that slides right across. So they make an actual sanding block part that you put that drywall sandpaper on, and it can go on a pole. So you can stand on the ground, and you can run that over that joint compound from the ground, and it's about 8 or 10 inches long, and they make the paper to fit it. So it wraps around the top and bottom and clamps, and it's good, hard, and flat. So, cause that's what you're looking for in doing that. Cause when you are floating, if you're talking about where the butt joints are, where it's not the tapered factory edge, but it's the flat edges.
No, it's the tapered.
Is it the tapered one? Yep. So the tapered one should work pretty well with that for sure. Because if you get a little bit too much, as you run that across, it'll flatten it out with that. So you just, and you want to do good long strokes from the drywall across the mud to the drywall. Not just real short strokes. You want to do some long strokes so you're actually running it across that whole seam.
Yeah, but to make it flat.
Yep, to make it flat. Now, do you have any butt joints where you're trying to kind of...
Well, the butt joints, I actually hung this drywall. It's on the wall. And I took two 12-foot sheets.
Okay.
12-foot.
So you don't have butt joints. That's good.
Right.
Yep, because the butt joints...
the corner of the wall.
Yeah, the butt joints don't go flat. You're actually creating a kind of humped illusion. So,
right.
But your seam joint there, that one will go flat. And, yeah, I would use that pole and just run that thing up and down so your strokes going across that joint compound are about 18 inches from top to bottom with that. And you can use a hand one since it's on a wall, or you could still use it on a pole. It would work either way, but you want good long strokes.
Now, should that mud, the joint compound, should it stay in those bevels, or should I try to feather it out past those bevels?
You want to feather it out past, and you'll see just a really light layer past the bevel, and that's when you're pretty much there.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep.
'Cause I was trying to keep it between, you know, in the bevel. I was trying to keep it in there, and what I got is a bunch of, like, lumpy-looking stuff. If you look down the wall, you know, and as soon as you put paint on there, you're really going to see it. And it looked, you know, kind of wavy.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to figure out how to get that good and flat, and I was trying to stay in those bevels. So I need to go ahead and feather that out a little further.
Yes. Yep. You want about you're going to be about as wide as a 12-inch knife, which is going to be about 2 or 3 inches real thin past that bevel on each side.
Okay, good. Okay, that's what I think where I was going wrong, probably, because I'm not being able to get that smooth and flat just in those bevels.
Yep.
So I need to feather it out further. Okay.
Yep, and that sander that clips on for that drywall sandpaper, they also make a handheld one that you can hook a shop vac to. So you can, if you look for that, you can as you're sanding, have that shop vac running, and it'll suck in about 70-80% of that dust.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I really appreciate it, and you have a very good day.
Yeah, you too. That's awesome. So let's jump real quick to Elias here and see what's happening. Can you hear me? Turn your radio down. You'll hear me on the phone.
Yes, I do.
All right.
I have a urinal at my church, and they are slow drainage when you flush them. We took the cap in the bottom, you know, and we plunged it. This old gugs, you know, came out.
Uh-huh.
We collected and we put, you know, to the drainage outside. Now, is there any solution we can pour there, you know, once a time to clear the, you know?
Oh, just to try and keep, now that you've cleared it, just try and keep it clear?
Yeah, because we try, we plunge it, but it's still slow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody suggested, you know, sulfuric acid. I said, no, I'm not going to use sulfuric acid. I don't know. It is old building back in 1956.
Probably not that. But, I mean, there's two routes you can go is thinking about a professional service, like a Roto-Rooter type service that can help figure that out. But, yeah, it wouldn't hurt to just do some Drano in there that's kind of made to slowly eat that stuff away. So every, you know, once a month or something, just pour a little cap full of Drano down there to try and help keep that clear. That would probably help it out too, other than going to a professional if you can't get it flowing well.
How about vinegar and baking soda? It works.
I've heard that for kind of cleaning the sides and for smell. I've heard that a lot for smell. I'm not positive myself how much that would keep the drain clear, but I've heard people using that exact formula when your drain, like in your shower, starts to give a smell.
Yeah.
It's getting kind of dirty in there. It'll help for that. So I don't know if that would keep it clear or not. But okay. Just some off-the-shelf Drano-type drain formula that you pour in, I think would work well.
Yeah, because we put small couple tiny things, and we reach a point that stop because I guess there is a trap there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But we need a snake, you know, to go down and to clean it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, right. And that's where your drain companies might be able to come in and completely get it free. Then you can kind of maybe do a maintenance of every so often put some kind of liquid Drano down there to try and help keep it clear.
Sure. I mean, it is about 40 years back in 1956, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And those old pipes.
They never, to clean it. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And they'll cake up from the inside, and that pipe's smaller today than it was 40 years ago.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Great. Thank you for the advice.
Very good. Bye-bye. You're very welcome. I appreciate the call. And, hey, we're going to get into our break here, but again, we've got three more segments coming up. You can find me 314-436-7900. I will be here for you right after this. All right, guys. We are back. And, hey, talking about putting your back to the wind, wrapping and flashing houses, keeping air infiltration out from your second floor, from your attic, all these things we've been talking about here today. A lot of great questions, conversations on all of these subjects. And I'm here for you with all your questions, anything you got going on. We got plenty of time. Lines wide open. 314-436-7900 is where you will find me. I want to get back into this window installation, because we kind of got through the step one, the first way that windows, replacement windows, are installed. And it's the proper and a really good method, works well in older city homes when you have all that magnificent trim on the inside and you have actual wood windows, wood sashes, and you pull the sash out, you get rid of the old iron weights in the wall, you insulate well, and you install that new window into that frame and the stop of the existing sash. That's a great method. You can patch up your outside, trim it, make it look well, and that's a great method for an older St. Louis home that we do all of the time. But it's not a great method when you're on a newer home with vinyl siding or some other type of siding. So there's a middle method that is the most common installed method. And I have seen the first method done. I've seen it in homes where they left the vinyl window frame and they put a vinyl window with a frame and sashes inside of a vinyl window frame and cap metal on the outside, and it makes this huge, huge trim on the outside. It makes a really small piece of glass that you're looking through because you literally have two window frames. That's not a great way to do it. And the most typical way that they do those vinyl window replacements in vinyl siding is you remove that frame. You literally cut the window frame and you pry it out from behind the siding without removing any of the siding, the J channel, anything around the window from the outside. So they bend it in, they break off the fins, it leaves everything back there. You pull this sash out and then you fit a new window, sash, frames, everything into this opening, and you do a little metal cap work or a little caulking to that J channel, and you do not remove the siding. That is the most common way that windows are installed in our area, in vinyl siding, in hardy siding, these different types of siding. So that way, the issue that comes in, and what I had with my client where I did all this work to stop leaks on this wall and with two of these windows, doing that will destroy what I did behind the siding and will not replace it. So you'll end up behind that vinyl siding, you have a gap, and between the wall, the framing, the insulation, and that new window from the outside, but you just can't see it because of the vinyl siding. So if you pull the J channel away, I can look right in between your window and your wall and see the insulation that's crammed in there, meaning if water gets around there, wind-driven rains, and that's when this installation becomes an issue, wind-driven rains. If you're getting pounded all the time on that side of the house, this might not be a really good method. So we have a better method that we can do, kind of window installation method 3, that I will get into a little bit later. We're gonna keep the tension here for everybody and keep you wondering and keep you around, but we're going to go to Jen here on the line and see what's going on and get this call going. Can you hear me, Jen?
Yes, I can.
All right, perfect. What's happening? Thanks for calling in.
Well, I have a problem with ants.
Ah, okay.
I just have them in my kitchen, around the kitchen sink. We tried the Toro, and we tried that for like 3 weeks, and we still had a problem. So we used a more toxic ant killer,
uh-huh,
and it worked for about a couple of months, and now we have them back again. So I was just wondering if you knew of some. I want to avoid the toxic, repellents if I can.
Okay.
So do you have any suggestions on how to get rid of them?
Well, so sometimes it depends a little bit on why they're there. So sometimes there's reasons that they're there. And
okay.
So is your kitchen sink, I'm guessing it's on an exterior wall?
Yes.
So it's on an outside wall. So one thing I would try and do is before you try and get rid of them or do anything to try and get rid of them is go outside at different times and kind of look at between the ground and the wall and see if you can see them where they're coming in and out. Cause a lot of times they're just like a trail. You'll just see them going up the foundation. Some will be coming in, some will be going out, and you'll see them running in and out there. So if you can find that kind of trail they're running, getting in and out, you can try to put some stuff on the outside of the house to attack them from there. And they make these little ant traps where it's like a white square thing. It sticks to the wall and they climb in and out through it. And it has poisons that'll go back and try and kill their colony and all that.
Is that on the outside? Are they made for the outside or for the inside?
Well, they're kind of, I think they're made for the inside, but I've seen them and seen them used
on the outside too. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you can. So the question that comes up though, if you see that trail, if you find that and everything, is sometimes ants are going to a certain spot for a reason. They like moisture. So if there's moisture in the wall, if there's anything going on with the wall, they'll be attracted to that area because it helps them survive. Everyone needs water, you know, right? So they like moisture. So when about 10 years ago, we had ants real bad in our master bathroom, and my wife's battling them from the inside, and I immediately said, "Oh no, it's that bay window." I'm like, I know the trim's going bad. I got to fix the bay window. So she's battling them from the inside. I go outside and tear the bay window trim off. I see all the moisture that's been getting in. I fix all the stuff from the outside and flash tape it, and I install all this new trim, and ants immediately go away.
Okay.
Because they don't have the sources that they want. So it might be, if it continues to happen, it might really be worth looking at that cabinet wall. Is there any leaking? Is there anything happening inside that wall? If there's a window above the sink,
is there a window above the sink?
If that window's letting moisture down, you could have moisture on the plywood of the wall sheeting behind the siding. So looking further into why are they there could be a really good thing.
Okay.
That sometimes that could help get rid of them. You could have window leaking into that wall a little bit, not bad enough where you smell mold or you're seeing all these issues, but enough that insects are attracted to it. And then
and then
another thing that would be good to consider, if you can see all the foundation around your house,
right?
Or consider maybe having a professional service kind of look and inspect or whatever, but ants come out of the ground when you have termites in the ground.
Okay.
So,
well, we've had our house
treated for termites.
Yes, that was a long time ago, and we have it inspected like, I don't know, twice a year for termites.
Then you're good.
Yeah, we haven't had any issues with termites
even
for,
once a year,
like 10 years.
Yep, nope, that's perfect. Then that shouldn't be your issue. But it is amazing to me, and I didn't know that until I got termites. And I found my termites because ants were getting in our kitchen.
Right,
and my wife was like, oh, the ants are back. Now they're in the kitchen. And I go outside to try and find that trail, and I find a termite trail, a couple of them. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And the termite treatment company said that's why, because they're evading the ground and they're trying to find somewhere else to go because of all these termites. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I had never knew that. So it's just good for everyone to know and to think about. If you are starting to get ants and you haven't had a termite inspection in a year or two or three or some, just don't. You think everything's okay, you might want to consider getting that done. So, yeah. So I would look at, is your home vinyl siding?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say find somebody that will look behind that vinyl siding and see if they can see if that window's leaking.
If there's any leakage, anything
going on with moisture around that kitchen window, kitchen sink, wall.
Yeah,
that's attracting
I don't see anything like, you know, just a visual of looking at the window from the in the kitchen. I don't see any moisture, anything like that, but. I guess you'd really have to just take a few pieces of siding off and look.
Yep, it's very easy to look behind vinyl siding. It really doesn't take much. So it's something when people call me out for even anything, it's very, I have a tool in my truck. I can zip it open. It literally takes like 5 minutes.
Okay. But what if we don't find any leakage behind the window?
Then I would say you're back at trying to find some sort of spray or some sort of trap or something to control those ants.
Attacking them from the outside
is probably the best way to go.
Yeah. The only thing is the, you know, the toxicity of the spray, which really bothers me.
Yeah.
I know the Toro isn't quite as toxic as the other stuff, but you know that kind of bothers me is that, and they only go away for a couple of months and then they're back again. So
because you're kind of getting to the source. If you spoke with some actual insect treatment companies, they'll talk about setting traps and stuff that lets them go back to their, doesn't kill them on contact.
Right.
Lets them go back to their colony, kill the source. That's the best way to try and do that.
Yeah.
From
but we tried the Toro for like 3 weeks and it just didn't seem like it worked much. So.
Yep. It's a hassle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I wish you luck, Jen.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome.
So
yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, yeah, we're going to get into our middle hour break here. Remember, again, you can find me 314-436-7900. I'll be here for you. We got another half hour left, so give me a shout. All right, we are back. A lot of great conversations, a lot of great questions. Remember, you can find me right here. We got plenty of time. 314-436-7900, whatever you need about your house. And I think we're going to get some advice on our ants, which I love the community here. We've got Sue on the line. Hey, Sue, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. So you got a trick for the ants?
Well, no, but a surprise.
Okay.
We had ants for years, And, you know, you do things and they go away and they come back and it's like, oh, it's ants.
Yeah.
So we had just basically quit trying to fight it. We just sprayed, and when they came back, we sprayed again.
Yeah.
So my brother came to put in a new bathroom floor for us, a new floor covering.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I have to take off the stool, and it'll be off a couple of days. Well, we have another bathroom, so okay, go ahead. So he took it off, and he said, you won't believe what I found. So I'm thinking snakes. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm scared of snakes. He said, they're ants. There's an ant home in between the floor and the old flooring.
Oh, wow.
Between the flooring and yeah. the plywood. And he said, that's where your ants have been coming from. They were the great big black ones, just really large bodies. And so he treated that. We haven't had another ant.
Yeah, yeah. So, it sounds like carpenter ants.
I don't maybe. Even know.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so, and I almost probably guarantee you that under the toilet, if you had any slight leakage around the wax ring or anything when that toilet's flushing, the littlest bit of water, they love to be where the moisture is. So there's
they had a direct route to the kitchen.
Really?
And so
yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, just because of where the pipes go and stuff.
Yeah.
We never could see them coming in the back door. We looked all around, couldn't see how they were getting in, and I still don't know how they were getting in, but they didn't have to have water in the bathroom. They could just go to the kitchen.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
It was really weird. He treated that really good, and we haven't seen one since.
Awesome. So. Hey, appreciate it, Sue.
So, if nothing else, it's pretty easy to pull a stool up and look and see what you can find.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
You.
Hey, you're welcome. Have a good day. Great comment. I love the. The everybody out there coming in, because we don't always know everything, and there are things to think about, and there's different things that have happened, and having the community just step in and help out is such a great thing. I absolutely love that. And when we get into some trick plumbing things, we always have some plumbers that can jump in. And I would remind everybody too, for me, for my house, like when I had termite damage, I had Hulper's Pest and Animal Control take care of that. They are wonderful at taking care of the ants and the termites and the different thing, and very, very knowledgeable on what they do. So they can help kind of track down to where those ants might be coming from. And of course they do your moles in your yard. They do all kinds of wildlife. They do pretty much everything. They do my stuff for me at my home. So I really, really appreciate what they do and love their systems and how they get through it and remind you and getting your inspections and different things. So it is a great, great thing. And we've had some really great conversations so far today. We're going to jump into our break. I want to remind everybody, we got one segment left here. You can find me at 314-436-7900. And, hey guys, are you going to, I was going to, so I wanted to bring up B&W Concrete here before we jump out here. We've had some great conversations on ants and on water and air infiltration and all these different things, ventilating the house properly. And we haven't had a single conversation about getting your concrete done the best way, the right way. B&W Concrete Services, they're family owned, full service concrete contractor. I've personally been using them for years and years. They've done work at my house personally. They do all my work at Mosby Building Arts. We've been using them at Mosby for years and years. They're an established leader in the industry since 1973. They're proud, proud, proud of their reputation they've built over all that time. They can do anything you need. Poured concrete foundations, retaining walls, decorative walls, flat work, all kinds of decorative concrete, new construction or tear out replacement. So I've got a couple additions. They're going to be doing the foundations for me real soon here. They can help you with everything, and they'll do it Honestly, the best quality, the best core principles. You will love everything about them. Give them a call, 636-458-3626 or bwconcrete.com. All right, guys, here we are. Final segment. Having a great day. Appreciate all the great calls, questions, and conversation and advice on the ants and where you might find them. We got Pat on the line. Let's get to Pat and see what's happening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in. What do you have for us?
In our home, we have vinyl sliding windows, and as part of the system, there's an extra little piece in the frame that lets the water drain out.
Yes.
And we had problems with ants as well, and I found upon inspection that if you lift that piece up, I found all kinds of eggs and stuff, and I figured out that's where my ants were coming from.
Yeah.
So I cleaned that really well and put some of the gel poison under the track and closed it up and haven't had them since.
Yeah, nice. No, that's another spot, kind of a hidden spot where, yeah, as water, rain blows in there, it's designed to take that water out the weep holes, but it stays nice and moist and kind of dirty and damp in there. And again, it's a perfect spot for them to be able to hang out, breed, have their moisture. So yeah, checking inside those window weep hole tracks and all that, cleaning that out. A lot of people don't know that that's kind of part of your vinyl window maintenance and cleaning and making sure it's operating is to get in there and really clean that out. So good deal. I appreciate the advice on that.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. So, yeah, it seems to me like all roads still end up leading to moisture with these insects. They absolutely love it, and when you have it, that's where they like to go, and they find their way in, and they can hang out in those spots, and looking for that is a great thing to try and do and figure out and understand. And so talking about water and controlling water and not just rainwater and all these other different things, but and hopefully I'm gonna bring something up that maybe it'll bring in some plumbers that can kind of check in with me or call in before the end of the show or even next week and maybe talk about why this is. But I had a very interesting question from a client of mine that we're getting ready to do some laundry room work and some different things for him. And we're sitting there talking, and he said, I was just curious if you had any thoughts on why doesn't my kitchen sink have an overflow drain? And, you know, I've been building kitchens for years and years, and I've never put in a kitchen sink with an overflow drain. But you go to the bathroom, and the bathtub has an overflow drain. The bathroom sinks have an overflow drain. And so just kind of kicking back and thinking, well, that's a very good question. Like, I've never really considered or thought about why that wouldn't have that. And I did a little research, and there are some that you can find and purchase that would have one. And I think really the one of the first obvious, just straight out of mind reasons that you maybe wouldn't need it is if you have a double bowl sink, and usually on a lot of sinks, the divider in the double bowl is a little bit lower than the actual top of the sink. That's how mine is. Then if you stop up one side of the sink, if it did overflow and you weren't paying attention, it would go to the other sink. So in order to overflow a sink like that, you would have to stop both sinks up and then wait the time for it to actually fill up. So kitchen sinks are big, and it would take a while for that to happen. And that's probably the biggest reason maybe that they don't. But it, stranger things have happened. I think if you look at the situation in kitchen sinks, it's kind of like the best thing I could tell you is don't do that. Don't just let it run without you there or attendance, but I know things happen, and that's why they make these overflow devices in the bathtub, in the bathroom sink and everything. But again, I can also think of when you have these overflows, like in your bathroom sink, that overflow drain, a lot of people kind of say, well, that really helps the sink drain, and it puts extra air running around that drain as it's trying to go down into the P-trap and everything, that it's more helpful for that than it is the actual, so your sink doesn't overflow. Because if you leave that bathroom faucet running, most of those bathroom faucets will run harder and faster than that overflow drain will. All right, we are back. A lot of great conversations, a lot of great questions. Remember, you can find me right here. We got plenty of time. 314-436-7900, whatever you need about your house. And I think we're going to get some advice on our ants, which I love the community here. We've got Sue on the line. Hey, Sue, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. So you got a trick for the ants?
Well, no, but a surprise.
Okay.
We had ants for years. And, you know, you do things and they go away and they come back. And it's like, oh, it's ants.
Yeah.
So we had just basically quit trying to fight it. We just sprayed. And when they came back, we sprayed again.
Yeah.
So my brother came to put in a new bathroom floor for us, a new floor covering.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I have to take off the stool and it'll be off a couple of days. Well, we have another bathroom. So, okay, go ahead. So he took it off and he said, you won't believe what I found. So I'm thinking snakes. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm scared of snakes. He said, they're ants. There's an ant home in between the floor and the old flooring.
Oh, wow.
Between the flooring and the plywood. And he said, that's where your ants have been coming from. They were the great big black ones, just really large bodies. And so he treated that. We haven't had another ant.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like carpenter ants.
I don't even know.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so and I almost probably guarantee you that under the toilet, if you had any slight leakage around the wax ring or anything when that toilet's flushing, the littlest bit of water, they love to be where the moisture is. So
they had a direct route to the kitchen.
Really?
And so,
yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, just because of where the pipes go and stuff.
Yeah.
We never could see them coming in the back door. We looked all around, couldn't see how they were getting in. And I still don't know how they were getting in, but they didn't have to have water in the bathroom. They could just go to the kitchen.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
It was really weird. He treated that really good, and we haven't seen one since.
Awesome. So. Hey, appreciate it, Sue.
So if nothing else, it's pretty easy to pull a stool up and look and see what you can find.
Yeah, yep.
Okay,
yep. All right. Hey, you're welcome. Have a good day. Great comment. I love the everybody out there coming in, because we don't always know everything, and there are things to think about, and there's different things that have happened, and having the community just step in and help out is such a great thing. I absolutely love that. And when we get into some trick plumbing things, we always have some plumbers that can jump in. And I would remind everybody too, for me, for my house, like when I had termite damage, I had Hulper's Pest and Animal Control take care of that. They are wonderful at taking care of the ants and the termites and the different thing, and very, very knowledgeable on what they do. So they can help kind of track down to where those ants might be coming from. And of course they do your moles in your yard. They do all kinds of wildlife. They do pretty much everything. They do my stuff for me at my home. So I really, really appreciate what they do and love their systems and how they get through it and remind you and getting your inspections and different things. So it is a great, great thing. And we've had some Really great conversation so far today. We're going to jump into our break. I want to remind everybody we got one segment left here. You can find me at 314-436-7900. And hey guys, are you going to? I wanted to bring up B&W Concrete here before we jump out here. We've had some great conversations on ants and on water and air infiltration and all these different things, ventilating the house properly, and we haven't had a single conversation about getting your concrete done the best way, the right way. B&W Concrete Services, they're family-owned, full-service concrete contractor. I've personally been using them for years and years. They've done work at my house personally. They do all my work at Mosby Building Arts. We've been using them at Mosby for years and years. They're an established leader in the industry since 1973. They're proud, proud, proud of their reputation they've built over all that time. They can do anything you need. Poured concrete foundations, retaining walls, decorative walls, flat work, all kinds of decorative concrete, new construction or tear out replacement. So I've got a couple additions. They're going to be doing the foundations for me real soon here. They can help you with everything, and they'll do it honestly, the best quality, the best core principles. You will love everything about them. Give them a call, 636-458-3626 or bwconcrete.com. All right, guys, here we are, final segment. Having a great day. Appreciate all the great calls, questions, and conversations, and advice on the ants and where you might find them. We got Pat on the line. Let's get to Pat and see what's happening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in. What do you have for us?
In our home, we have vinyl sliding windows, and as part of the system, there's an extra little piece in the frame that lets the water drain out.
Yes.
And we had problems with ants as well. And I found upon inspection that if you lift that piece up, I found all kinds of eggs and stuff. And I figured out that's where my ants were coming from.
Yeah.
So I cleaned that really well and put some of the gel poison under the track and closed it up and haven't had them since.
Yeah, nice. No, that's another spot, a kind of a hidden spot where, yeah, as water, rain blows in there, it's designed to take that water out the weep holes, but it stays nice and moist and kind of dirty and damp in there. And again, it's a perfect spot for them to be able to hang out, breed, have their moisture. So yeah, checking inside those window weep hole tracks and all that, cleaning that out. A lot of people don't know that that's kind of part of your vinyl window maintenance and cleaning and making sure it's operating is to get in there and really clean that out. So good deal. I appreciate the advice on that.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. So, yeah, it seems to me like all roads still end up leading to moisture with these insects. They absolutely love it, and when you have it, that's where they like to go, and they find their way in, and they can hang out in those spots, and looking for that is a great thing to try and do and figure out and understand. And so talking about water and controlling water and not just rainwater and all these other different things, but and hopefully I'm gonna bring something up that maybe it'll bring in some plumbers that can kind of check in with me or call in before the end of the show or even next week and maybe talk about why this is. But I had a very interesting question from a client of mine that we're getting ready to do some laundry room work and some different things for him. And we're sitting there talking, and he said, I was just curious if you had any thoughts on why doesn't my kitchen sink have an overflow drain? And, you know, I've been building kitchens for years and years, and I've never put in a kitchen sink with an overflow drain. But you go to the bathroom, and the bathtub has an overflow drain. The bathroom sinks have an overflow drain. And so just kind of kicking back and thinking, well, that's a very good question. Like, I've never really considered or thought about why that wouldn't have that. And I did a little research, and there are some that you can find and purchase that would have one. And I think really the one of the first obvious, just straight out of mind reasons that you maybe wouldn't need it is if you have a double bowl sink, and usually on a lot of sinks, the divider in the double bowl is a little bit lower than the actual top of the sink. That's how mine is. Then if you stop up one side of the sink, if it did overflow and you weren't paying attention, it would go to the other sink. So in order to overflow a sink like that, you would have to stop both sinks up and then wait the time for it to actually fill up. So kitchen sinks are big, and it would take a while for that to happen. And that's probably the biggest reason maybe that they don't. But it, stranger things have happened. I think if you look at the situation in kitchen sinks, it's kind of like the best thing I could tell you is don't do that. Don't just let it run without you there or attendance. But I know things happen, and that's why they make these overflow devices in the bathtub, in the bathroom sink and everything. But again, I can also think of when you have these overflows, like in your bathroom sink, that overflow drain, a lot of people kind of say, well, that really helps the sink drain, and it puts extra air running around that drain as it's trying to go down into the P-trap and everything, that it's more helpful for that than it is the actual, so your sink doesn't overflow. Because if you leave that bathroom faucet running, most of those bathroom faucets will run harder and faster than that overflow drain will handle. So eventually your bathtub would do the same thing, or your sink would. If you go too long, it's going to overtake it. It's not going to drain quick enough. So it's not like they're a fail safe thing that you could just turn your faucet on, leave it stopped up, and it's just this overflow is going to constantly take all that water, because they're really not built to do that and to handle all that water. It's more like buying you some time. So, and then the next thought I kind of got into was, all right, here we are. It's probably just not in the codes. And this is where I might ask plumbers to come in, because obviously we've been doing kitchens forever. So there obviously isn't a code that would say you have to put one in, because we don't have to. So that's a part of it where it's easy to turn to and go, well, it's just not code, so nobody does it. Another thing to think about is I started thinking about how those overflow drains really work, and they run around that sink and they go down. And when you think about the kitchen sink, what are you doing in there? Well, you've got food particles, you've got your garbage disposal, your cooking, grease, all this stuff. So if you have an overflow and you actually got to the point where it started working, you'd really have to be careful or look into the future of maintaining that, because it's going to get food particles and all kinds of stuff in there from washing dishes and all the cooking and all the activities you do in a kitchen. So you really want to, if you had one, you'd really want to make sure that you keep this thing cleared out, you keep it clean, because you could get smells and all sorts of things going on. I take out the stopper and all that from my garbage disposal, and I clean that every now and then, and I've got little balls you could buy that are for that, that's a cleaner, and you run it through that garbage disposal, and it'll help that bad smell from all the food, and it'll clean that out. So think of that in an area where you've got this overflow and you can't really do that. That could be a whole nother thing in the kind of plumbing and hygiene and how that works with kitchens. So that's probably a whole nother reason. And then, of course, over the years, everything's been the same. You've got a standard practice, and that's where a lot of things fall for us all the time, is it's just standard practice, and we haven't gotten anybody to think far enough outside of the box to change that standard practice. And the last thing I found is I did find some stoppers that create an overflow. They're shorter than your sink, so when you stop it up, if it does overfill, it will start draining. So that's another great thing. So, hey, we're out of time. Had a great time. Thanks for all the calls, questions, all the help. And, hey, don't forget, be good to your homes. And I will talk to everybody next week.